Matt Haycock's an entrepreneur who, by his own admission, has lived on the highs and felt the lows of business success and failure in many different sectors. His business career started in 1999, being thrown in the deep end at a failing corporate clothing business. But by 2006, he had established a finance brokerage and private lending business to provide funding to business owners struggling to get the capital they need to grow. Today, we're here to talk about his latest venture, The Funding Guru, and the launch of the Get Funded Guide. Welcome, Matt.
Hi.
So, Matt, let's start by asking, have you always been an entrepreneur at heart?
I mean, I guess my journey began, you know, at the very beginning of my childhood as far as business was concerned, in that I was always, I always knew that business would be my path. I didn't particularly know, you know, what industry or what specific direction, but I'd always been, you know, I'd always been wanting to get out there and make businesses or make money. I mean, even, I guess, you know, 9, 10, 11, 12, I'd be you know, reading business books and, you know, not storybooks before bed, you know, I guess, you know, like most teenage wannabe entrepreneurs, you know, I'd dabble in anything I could get my hands on to buy and sell. I think, you know,
what sorts of things like that have been?
Well, you know, I was talking to someone about this the other day, and one of the first things I ever remember doing was trying to profit from the school tuck shop.
I thought you might say that.
I used to go to a school where we had about 15 minutes, 20 minutes for break, and the queue, if you got there 1 minute after the bell went to start break, the queue was 30 minutes long. So I always used to find an excuse to sneak out to the toilet just before the lessons finished. You know, get to the front of the tuck shop queue and buy literally everything I could afford to buy that day. I'd buy, you know, pasties, Mars bars, you know, drinks a lot. Take them back up to my classroom and sell them for twice what they cost me to all the people who didn't want to have to queue. So that's probably where it all began. But I mean, if we talk about, you know, my first real business, I mean, you know, like you mentioned earlier, I worked in a family corporate clothing business, which I was, you know, thrown in at the deep end, where it was a failing business. You know, a family had owned it for two or three generations, and we had, you know, by the point I got involved, there was no, you know, the customers were leaving us, the suppliers didn't want to deal with us, you know, the banks were kicking us out, staff morale was, you know, was on the floor, and I mean, I didn't really have any experience or any specific knowledge of how to deal with it, but it was just a baptism by fire of using common sense and desire to come out the other end, and you know, having to deal with, you know, deal with the hand I was dealt. But then my first, you know, proper business work, if you like, was getting involved in a family corporate clothing business, which was a, you know, two or three generational business, which was struggling immensely at the point I got involved. You know, we had customers leaving us left, right, and centre. Suppliers who didn't want to deal with us, employees with no morale, and whilst I never had any kind of knowledge of how to deal with those problems, I guess, you know, what I learned from them was that, yeah, fixing problems in business is really just fixing problems in life, and it just comes down to, you know, down to common sense and having a plan and sticking with it. But I was with that business for probably two, three years, and then I, you know, I decided it wasn't so much that it wasn't for me, but I guess, you know, I liked taking problems and fixing them, and once we'd fixed a lot of those problems and it was a bit more, you know, run of the mill, you know, day-to-day managing a business, it wasn't so exciting for me anymore, and I'd always harboured a desire to work in the leisure industry with bars and pubs. I wouldn't say it was something that I had a great financially logical reason for doing so, other than, you know, as any, you know, 20, 21 year old guy wants to own a bar because, you know, we think we get, you know, free drinks and more girls. that kind of started it for me. I ended up opening a pub, and then, you know, traded two or three or four pubs over the next two or three year period to, you know, varying degrees of unsuccess, and I really realized that what I was lacking in the business model was an income stream other than just selling beer. And again, when you're, I suppose, following on that theme of following our passions, on my nights off, I was a regular customer of the local lap dancing bar, which again I deemed qualified me enough to be able to run my own. So my income stream away from beer was going to be, you know, creating a lap dancing bar, and that's what I did in 2003, 2004. I opened a unit in Wakefield, which I guess, not taking the credit for it, you know, looking back, it was probably a case of right place at the right time, and we hit the ground running, and it literally was an overnight success. I wanted to scale that business, but it was a very difficult business to raise any funding for, you know, given the nature of the industry, and I had to spend my time hunting out niche funders, alternative funders, and that kind of is what started my story of where I am today. That, you know, I had no experience at the time of where to borrow money from, of how to borrow money, you know, for a business like this. But, you know, for me, I learnt on the job, and did so very successfully for 3 or 4 years. But then in 2008, 2009, when the, you know, the economy took a downturn, I ended up suffering, you know, losing a lot of turnover, a lot of business, and ultimately everything went bankrupt, and I also ended up being made personally bankrupt as well. I started afresh in 2009, 2010, and had to rebuild literally from zero. But I guess, you know, with the added benefit of four or five years, you know, of heavy experience of the highs and the lows, and when I talk about my story, you know, with people today, It's that, you know, yes, I've got plenty of success stories to tell, but I've got plenty of failure stories to tell as well. I think when I meet people in business who've got problems, you know, that they stress very much about these problems because they've probably never experienced them before. They probably don't know anyone who's experienced these problems either, and they've got no one to turn to for any support. But, you know, I always tell people that whatever problems you think you've got, believe me, they were probably nothing like what mine were. I got through it. I wouldn't say I got through it because I had any special knowledge at the time, other than, again, you know, common sense and a desire not to fail and not to be deterred, but hopefully I can use my experience now and condense 15 years into 15 minutes when I'm talking to people who are struggling or, you know, looking to raise money.
How on earth do you go from being declared sort of your business is bankrupt and personally bankrupt? How do you get out of bed the next day and go, I've got to do, like, how do you draw yourself out of that's amazing.
I didn't really see a choice or any other option. I mean, you know, we're talking when this happened for me in September 2008, so I had a 2-year-old daughter. And, you know, for me, it was, if I don't get out of bed, you know, she's not going to school, I'm not getting fed, and I'm not, you know, and I guess maybe it's easy for me to say because I'm not a person who was lacking confidence, but I also probably had no right to have any confidence at that point when I had, you know, no businesses left, you know, literally no money left. But, you know, sitting at home, you know, moaning and watching Jeremy Kyle was not going to fix the problem. And I guess, you know, I had passion for various topics or sectors, and, you know, I had business ideas in my head that I knew that if I put the effort in or given the chance, I could probably succeed on again. And, you know, for me it was just, you know, just get out there and do it, because at 27, 28 years old, I wasn't going to write the rest of my life off.
And so, was it easy to get your businesses off the ground coming from
second
a position?
Time round?
Yeah,
you know, it's funny actually, because there's probably two answers to that question. One would be that, you know, I was very heavily reputationally scarred at that point. You know, I mean, you know, borrowing money wasn't an option. You know, dealing with a lot of people again, or, you know, dealing with people who knew what had happened wasn't an option. But I guess what I did have in my favour was that I'd had, you know, 4 or 5 years, well, probably more so, but, you know, particularly 4 or 5 years of really solid real world experience of how to make a business work, and then of watching, you know, watching a business fail. So you know, I guess it's almost like that, you know, old adage where, you know, where successful people say, you know, my first million was the hardest to make, and then, you know, and then the next, you know, the next million after that was so much easier. I guess it's probably a variant on that story, in that, you know, second time round, whilst I was in a much tougher situation than I was in first time round, I was probably able to do it a lot quicker, because, you know, because I had the experience and I had the tools to get on with it.
And so did you go from, like, did you have a sort of stopgap job in between then starting the finance brokerage? Or?
I never had a job insofar as working for other people. I mean, there'll have been times when I've had to do jobs, you know, for people that I've probably earned money for. But I guess I've probably, you know, been I say lucky, but, you know, I've always been able to, you know, monetize my skill set at, you know, at various times in my life, and I guess that's, you know, that's all I'm doing now, just in a bigger way.
And what have been some of the biggest lessons you've learnt along the way, would you say? This tuck shop to clothing company to private lending.
Well, I think, you know, for me, you know, one of the biggest lessons, not so much lessons, but you know, one of the biggest things I always do is I'm never afraid to try something new. I mean, I don't think business is particularly complicated. You know, it's common sense, it's logic, but I think, you know, because it involves money, you know, people probably, you know, lack the confidence and have a lot of fear surrounding it. I mean, you know, for me, it's about having a plan and just getting on and doing it, and, you know, not really letting anything stand in your way.
And do you think that just comes down to you as a person being quite self-confident in yourself? I mean, it's probably quite hard for someone to have the confidence to lose money if they don't have any money from the start, but it sounds like you were always sort of had it ingrained in you that it was okay and you could just keep going.
I mean I do agree with what you're saying there, and I think, you know, people may look at me and say, well, that's easy for him to say, you know, he's got money, it doesn't matter if he loses it, you know, I haven't got any money, if I lose it, you know, there'll be no food on the table. And I guess, you know, there's different you know, let's say quantums or extremes of business in there, and I'm not you know, telling someone that they need to go and risk, you know, risk the house on a business, but it's for me, it's more about having the confidence to follow your dreams, but you know, also to make sure that they are realistic dreams. You know, I mean, if someone's saying, you know, that they're in a, you know, 9-to-5 job and they've got no experience and they've got no capital and no investors, but they want to go and, I don't know, you know, go and start a new ski centre down the road, you know, an indoor ski centre that's going to cost them, you know, £5 million, and fine, yeah, that's a bad example. I'm not talking about that. You know, for me, I always also preach a lot about realism, and for people not to be deluded. And I think, you know, if someone's starting a business, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't have to be a big business. It doesn't have to have lots of employees. You know, we're a nation of one man band entrepreneurs out there, and, you know, if you've got a passion that that you want to follow, there is, you know, nothing standing in your way apart from your self confidence.
So tell us about the inspiration behind launching Funding Guru. Why now?
Well, I guess launching Funding Guru now is really a kind of a formalisation, or, you know, culmination of you know, years of experience and years of advising people. I mean, it's it's nothing I haven't been doing with businesses and individual entrepreneurs for years. But you know, I'm finally excited to kind of get it all down on one site and all down on one page. The website is full of real life practical business advice. And I think for me that word or those words real life is something that is very important to me, and I always get across because I think we live in a society of hundreds of thousands of inverted commas gurus dispensing advice left, right and centre, whether or not these people have actually got any right to be doing so is questionable, everything I ever tell people is all gained from real life experience. But I think hopefully what makes my guide or my information more interesting to people is it's not just about success and telling everyone about the great things I've been involved in. I've probably got more stories of failure to tell than stories of success. It's just that I've been able to learn from those failures, and hopefully my successes have been more profitable than my failures. Hence why we're here today.
And so what is it that stops people from being more like you and taking things, taking the bull by the horns when they've got dreams of starting their own businesses?
It's really lack of confidence and fear of failure, which, I don't necessarily think they are, exclusive just to people not starting in business. I think that they're issues in life in general, I think people have a lot more skill and a lot more ability than they ever want to give themselves credit for, but I think we also probably live in a society where people are held back and put down and fear of failure and fear of embarrassment gets in the way. But what I really want to preach to people is that the people whose negative opinions you're worried about, they're not opinions that you should be giving a second thought to anyway. And if you've got a passion, if you've got a dream, if there's something you want to do, believe in yourself, and if I can help you do it as well, then go to fundingguru.com.
And so what have been some of the best and also worst business decisions that you've made, Matt? And also, what did you learn from them?
It's actually hard to think of what are the worst business decisions I've made. I like to think all my decisions were right at the time. It's not often that I look back and go I made the wrong decision there. I think people may look and go, well, Matt was involved in that business that didn't work out, and therefore he made some bad decisions. But I think for me the right decision was that I tried something that I wanted to try, and I had a reason for trying it when I started, and hopefully if nothing else I can take away from that more knowledge, more life experience to make sure that the next business or the next project I walk into is hopefully more successful than the failure. But I wouldn't say there's any particular things that I look back and say I really shouldn't have done that.
So do you think one of the sort of key elements to what makes you successful is the fact that you recognise when is the time to move on and to not constantly be looking back at what might have happened in the past, but to be looking forward to what could be happening in the future?
Yeah, 100%. I think for me, I would say two of my biggest skills or character traits, if you like, would be realism and open-mindedness. I mean, the two don't necessarily sit in the same sentence, but I'm always open-minded to try new opportunities, to work on new ideas, but I'm also realistic enough to know if I'm flogging a dead horse or if I've got something materially wrong and it's time to put my hands up and admit to my mistakes and call it a day.
So what would be your sort of key recommendations for any sort of would-be entrepreneur who's listening to this podcast now?
Well, I think if you've got a business that is something that interests you or a dream that you want to follow, I'd summarize it into two steps. One, take stock of the realism of what it is you want to do, as I was saying earlier, building a business isn't necessarily building a huge corporation. It can just be a one man band entrepreneur creating the life that you want. Now, first of all, is it realistic? If it is, then just do it. You know, there should be nothing standing in your way. And if it doesn't work out, then, you know, go back to the job that you already had.
So, Matt, the world of business has changed dramatically since you first started offering funding to businesses. Is the elevator pitch still relevant in this day and age?
I mean, I guess, you know, an elevator pitch is probably a soundbite phrase. I mean, to me, it's nothing more than I guess it's an elevator. It's you know, a 60-second summary of what is your business and what are you looking to achieve. I think, you know, that's a long way away from somebody actually getting funded. But I guess having a compelling story about your business and yourself is probably important to actually, you know, attract the ears of potential investors or potential funders in the first place. I mean, you know, since I started business properly in 2002, 2003, when we were in a climate of probably what would have been looked back on as easy money, you know, probably too easy money to be able to borrow from financial institutions. And then I've suffered and lived through 2008 to 2012, 2013, 2014, where capital dried up and people struggled to fund the businesses for love and the money. I think we're very much in a time now of good liquidity, and I know people will say the banks aren't lending. It's very tough to get funding for our business, but the banks are one of hundreds of options for money out there, and I think if you've got a solid business and a solid pitch, that gets across the information that a funder needs to know, then there's many places in today's economy where you can go and raise money from for that.
Talk me through some of the most interesting pitches you've received.
I see all kinds of pitches, from all kinds of sectors, some good, some bad. But I tell you what's actually been more interesting than a specific pitch for me lately was the actual method that someone delivered a pitch to me in. And I had a guy recently send me a video on Instagram, basically telling me about his business and asking me to get involved. And it was a great story. I mean, I think he contacted me on the Monday. I met him on the Tuesday, and by the same Friday, I'd actually paid him out and funded his business. And I mean, he's still a business partner with me now on some gyms that we have together. But what that kind of did was, I guess, remind me / inspire me of the power of social media. And I used that to create a kind of a plea for pitches, with a hashtag Investagram to say to other entrepreneurs, budding entrepreneurs out there, if you've got a pitch, if you've got a business that wants funding, make me a 1-minute clip, stick it on Instagram, tag me in, hashtag Investagram, and let's pitch in the new way.
So what would be your key to sustained growth in this current market?
I mean, for sustained growth, I mean, I wouldn't say the key to that is materially different to what is the key to starting a successful business in the first place. I think you need to have an idea that is viable. I think the biggest failure I probably see with people when starting any kind of business is not understanding or rather not being realistic to how big their marketplace is. Just because your mum wants to be your customer, doesn't mean that there's hundreds of thousands of real life customers out there for you. But I think as long as you've got the model right and the metrics right from day one, growing and sustaining that growth, should really just be a matter of repeating what you did in the early days and not letting the train come off the tracks.
And finally, Matt, what is next for you?
What's next for me? Well, hopefully, what's next for me, I'll be looking at some of the pitches that I get sent from investors on fundingguru.com. One of the things that we've promised anyone who downloads a Get Funded guide is that if you read the guide and follow the steps to create your kind of 15-page, 15-minute pitch and send it to me, I guarantee that I will read every pitch. And hopefully, there's going to be some pitches in there for funding, which is going to answer that question of what's next for me. I want to find the next exciting UK businesses and exciting UK entrepreneurs to be able to provide funding and support to.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.